Welcome back to another episode of the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host.
Garrett Merkel.
So, Garrett, starting off the episode, we got some very sad news about the Mike Leach situation. He is still in critical condition, but inside sources, you know, with Mississippi State, say it's not looking good. No, obviously, prayers up for him if you believe in that sort of thing, because he's going to need it. And, I mean, you know, Mike Leach is just a guy that is loved. There's not many people out there that don't like Mike Leach. You know, he's a funny guy, and he doesn't, like, I'd say even Ole Miss fans don't hate him.
Right. I mean, Mike Leach is just, you
know. Everybody wants him to pull through.
First off, I mean, you know, the style of offense he runs is awesome. I've always loved the pass-first type of thing. But more than that, it's bigger than football. I mean, again, he's a guy, if I was getting recruited, I would try to go play for him, especially if I'm on the offensive side of the ball. And it's honestly just like, it's too bad what happened to him. He did have a heart attack, or it's rumored to be a heart attack. It hasn't actually been.
And it happened at his house, so it took them, you know, I want to say about 15 minutes to get him to the hospital.
I think I read that it was hours without oxygen. But anyway, I have a buddy who's on the Rivals page. And again, this is mostly, you know, this is just, it's all, I don't want to say speculation, but they probably do have more inside sources than we do. But this is from Steve Robinson on Rivals, and it was, this is what he said. I wish I had better news, but I am told the UMMC has transitioned into comfort care measures for Coach Mike Leach. It is essentially hospice care at this point. I'm told he's been largely and totally non-responsive since the cardiac arrest this morning. It appears to simply be a matter of time now. It all seems so unfair. Life is fleeting. Tell those who you love. You love them. Forgive. We will not be breaking the final story. We will respect his family's timing on all that. Yes, we have a story ready to roll, but we now await the official unfortunate word from the university. I can't believe we're even having these discussions. It's so surreal. He isn't just our football coach. He's Mike Leach, a national treasure. I'm honored to say he was once our coach for 3 seasons. It's also nice to remember that he's going out a winner. Please remember his family, our coaches, and the players in your thoughts and prayers. And then it says, love you all. Hail State. So, I mean, again, obviously I hope it's not true, but from what all I've read, it is inevitable.
I really hope that if there's any way he pulls through. And it's like you said, it's bigger than football. Mm-hmm. No one's asking. Just you, like, no one's wanting him to pull through so he can get back to that head coaching job. Everybody wants him to pull through because he's a great guy. He's a loved guy. Like you said, I mean, everybody, he's a national treasure.
Right.
Everybody says, I mean, Mark Stoops tweeted out yesterday. He said, praying for a dear friend, Coach Leach, today. Mike will always be a big part of the Big Blue Nation from his time here in Lexington. Our thoughts and prayers are with him, his wife Sharon, and their 4 kids and the entire Mississippi State family. So just incredibly sad, you know, 4 kids and a wife, and loved by the entire country.
Yeah.
So
and again, I mean, you know, I would say this even if, you know, this all didn't happen, but he still is one of the best coaches in college football. He won at Texas Tech at a really high level. He's won at Washington State at a really high level there as well. And then Mississippi State, again, transitioned to SEC football. What did they go, 8-4 this year?
And he was also the offensive coordinator at Kentucky staff too at one point.
Yeah, so I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. So again, it's just way too unfortunate. And again, I was reading Twitter all last night, and it's, you know, a whole bunch of his funny interviews and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we hope, you know, we're sitting here praying for the best for his family, you know, his friends, whatnot, the whole team. But it doesn't look good. And again, you know, hopefully, you know, he's able to come through with this. But from what I've read, it doesn't sound too great. And, much love and respect out there to the family. You know, our prayers are with you. And, hopefully, you know, he's able to get through this. Because there's a guy to get through this. It is Mike Leach.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100%.
But, it's just really sad scene from there. Anyway, we'll go on to the Chris Beard situation now. Chris Beard, very interesting there, Texas's head coach. He was at Texas Tech from 2017. He's at Arkansas Little Rock 2016 when they beat my Purdue Boilermakers in the tournament when they were up like 10 with 4 minutes to go. But anyway, yeah, Chris Beard, he then went to Texas Tech, made the national title game there in 2019. And then after that, he left to become, he left in 2021, it was, 2021, I believe. He left and took over Shaka Smart's Texas Longhorns and had them really good last year. I believe they were 6th seed in the tournament, made it to the second round. They lost to Purdue. But anyway, yeah, Chris Beard, one of the best coaches in the country. You know, he's, again, won everywhere he's been, and he had Texas rolling. They were one of my favorites, you know, to make the, you know, if I was going to do a Final Four prediction, they were one of my favorites to make the Final Four. But really unfortunate circumstances with him, as there was, you know, he assaulted a family, or
allegedly assaulted a family member.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, I mean, more signs point to it that it's true than not true.
Yeah, which is
especially it being a family member.
Yeah, and I believe it said, the article I read was his fiance, which, yeah, is not a good look for Beard nor Texas. They suspended him without pay until, you know, they know more about the situation, which is totally understandable.
And his attorney did say that they're looking to, you know, deal with it and that he's 100% innocent. So it is, once again, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, take that how you will, and we'll, you know, we'll move on and see how that goes. Obviously, hope it's not true. You never want to see any assault like that.
No.
But if it's true, then, you know, he's going to go to jail.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it would be way too bad because, again, Chris Beard is one of the best coaches in college basketball. But, again, that's so much more than college basketball.
Again, yeah, it's more than a sport. So,
yeah, obviously hope it's not true. But Texas did play last night. They beat Rice in overtime, I believe it was.
They had to get an overtime win against Rice?
They did.
Wow.
Wait, was it? No, sorry, it was the yeah, it was overtime, sorry. Yeah, it was tied going into overtime, and Texas outscored them 15-9. Texas was led by Marcus Carr, his heroics in that game. And, yeah, again, it would be really difficult to play in a circumstance like that if you're Texas, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just not knowing, you know, just how surreal that day must have been for them, you know, waking up, you know, hearing your coach is arrested in jail is not a good look. So, yeah, anyway. Really interesting there. Again, Texas was able to pull off the 6-point win at home against Rice, and I'm sure they'll be ready to go next game as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking up who Texas's interim head coach is right now because I'm not for sure. I believe it's obviously a staff member, and it was Rodney Terry. He took over the Texas job for now. Let's see what the whole Beard situation has. So now I know you want to get into the Colts' new quarterback situation.
So, yeah, the Colts, I think it's unavoidable you go quarterback in this next draft. I don't think I thought for the longest time that you should really think about going after Kyler Murray, but came out last night towards ACL, so I don't think you go for a guy like off a torn ACL that won't play all next year.
I agree.
He might play at the end of the season, but, you know, at that point. So I think you go draft. Right now the Colts are looking at the number 7 pick, and I think that they can get higher. I think that the way the Colts schedule shapes out, I'll pull that up. I know Saturday they play against the Vikings. Win. I realistically see one more win, and that's against the Texans. Obviously, you
read off the rest of their schedule.
Yeah, obviously, you don't want to cheer against your own team, but, like, if we lose out, that's best-case scenario.
Right.
You're going to get a good quarterback in the draft. So this Saturday, they play against the Vikings on the road. That's a loss. Then they follow that up at home against the Chargers Monday Night Football. That's a loss. At Giants, I'd say that's a loss. And then they host the Texans. So that's probably a win. So I think you're looking at 5-11-1.
Yeah, and, I mean, this year was just so odd with Colts football. Definitely one of the most, you know, weirdest years is me being a fan. I mean, I don't know when everything went wrong, because if you watch that Raiders
everything game, went wrong when they traded Wentz.
Yeah.
I don't think Wentz is, you know, a Super Bowl winning guy. Uh-huh. I don't think he's a guy that's going to take you to the next level. But he's at least a bridge quarterback. And they gave up on him after 1 year and brought in Matt Ryan, who put up similar stats to him that year and was like 10 years older than him.
Look,
where they messed up.
I've been critical of Ballard in the past, and I think it's 100% that you have to move on after this year from him.
If they don't move on, that's terrible.
I totally agree. But what I see in that whole situation is, again, I don't think you should have got rid of Wentz. But what happened in Jacksonville last year was just, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. It was, I guess, disappointing. But that was just such an ugly game. Like, we just came out and we were so flat. It was embarrassing. And after that, I mean, personally, I would have liked to stuck with Wentz. But
that game wasn't on him, though. It was on everybody. I don't get why they just kind of use Wentz as a scapegoat, because it's like all the time. Quarterbacks are just looked at as the guy that if you lose a game, it's on the quarterback all of a sudden.
I think if you kept Carson Wentz this season, and I mean, we saw see how it's going.
I think if you kept Wentz, you'd possibly be a wild card team.
I think you kept Wentz right now. Ballard's still there. Reich's still there. Ballard's not in the hot seat. I think you're an average football team.
I think you're a wild card. I think, not what the team needed. Maybe they do need a reset, and it obviously Ballard didn't mean for it to go like this. Nobody did, but maybe that's what you needed, because after the season you're gonna probably have a top five pick. You're gonna get looking for a new head coach, probably new GM. That might be good. You might just need a reset on the franchise.
Who do you go hired though? And you know, obviously
you look at Jim Harbaugh.
That's
but
my perfect candidate. But why would you leave Michigan?
Yeah, there's no reason to leave Michigan, especially if Michigan. I wouldn't.
Especially if the Colts draft C.J. Stroud, there's no way that Harbaugh comes to Indianapolis.
Michigan's fans would hate him.
I know.
If he wins it all with Michigan this year, I think he's staying. But I wouldn't.
I actually wouldn't jump the gun yet. Disagree on that. So I think if he wins it all with Michigan this year, I think he'd be more tempted to take an NFL job.
I mean, yeah, it could go both ways.
You know, he did everything he needs to do for Michigan.
I also think he did leave the NFL for Michigan. That's also one thing.
49ers let him go, but
I think he could have gotten a job somewhere else. So if he really wanted to, and he has been able to throughout the years. So, but I wouldn't think that. Like you said like a minute ago, I wouldn't think that the Colts are a dumpster fire yet.
No, they are.
I don't think yet, because they do still have talent and pieces. I think you're years away from being contenders. But I think a good coach, a solid quarterback, and decent pieces can make the team average. And that wouldn't be a dumpster. That'd be like, you know, a stepping stone year. Then the next year you keep building. If you get the right coaching, you get the right managing, I think you can build it up. I don't think a franchise in 1 year can go to a dumpster fire, because there were highlights from the win season. You started off 1-4, you ended 9-8. You should have made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's overall a highlight of a year. For the most part, you saw a lot of new talent. You saw, you know, a guy like JT break out.
Where did the talent go though?
It's all in the coaching. It's all in the roster. JT's talent hasn't gone anywhere. It's all on the O-line.
I mean, so obviously when the Saturday was made the interim head coach, you saw how hard they played in that game in Las Vegas. I mean, totally just different team. You know, they actually felt like they were fighting for something. Next week against the Eagles, same thing. Even the third quarter to mid-fourth quarter of this Steelers game, they looked like they were actually, you know, there to win a football game. And then I didn't watch any of the Cowboys game because I was just so fed up with the team at the time. I did end up watching the highlights.
I probably won't watch another game all season.
It was the same thing. I mean, just no effort there. And again, it's not on Saturday. It's, you know, I think it's on, you know, your owner and your GM. I do.
I think that the problem is that the players don't believe in themselves at all. Because of the fact that they're losing football games. This is a roster that most of the guys have won in their career.
Right.
Matt Ryan's a Super Bowl guy. Jonathan Taylor's been to the playoffs once, almost reached it last year, and then also won like Offensive Player of the Year or something like that. I don't know if it was Offensive Player of the Year.
I think it was
like, it was something. It was like FedEx Ground Player of the Year.
He won a good award.
He won a good award. You know, Shaq Leonard's a guy that's won in his career. Michael Pittman's been to the playoffs. It's, you know, all these guys have been to the playoffs, they expect to win. And when they're losing, like, what are they – I feel like it's like, what do they got to play for at that point?
I mean, I guess. I mean
– and especially with the coaching change, and I'm not saying the guys don't like Jeff Saturday, because I'm sure they do. Jeff Saturday's a good guy. But even in any coaching change, your team's not going to – especially at that point in the season, what happened to lead to the coaching change – I think there's, like, the players got to have been discouraged from that. No, you got your coach fired, essentially. And I'm not saying Frank Wright was a good coach, but it all boils down to they got their coach fired because they didn't win the game, close games they needed to.
I think that
if they had won, like, two or three of those close games, I think Frank Wright's still the coach.
I think, and you can call me crazy for this, but I honestly think that Reich right now is happier than being the Colts head coach.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think the franchise was in such a shambles that I'm in, you know.
Yeah, I would
rather hold out and wait for a new head coaching job to open up like he's doing than be the Colts head coach, because I'm sure down the line he'll get another head coaching job again.
He's not a bad coach.
Or he'll get a good offensive coordinator gig.
I think he'd be a great offensive coordinator, decent coach. It just didn't work out with the Colts.
And I mean, I think I think it didn't work out because you didn't have solid. If Andrew Luck was still here, he would be fine. Ballard would be fine.
It's a quarterback carousel. It's really all boils down to Ballard, and I think that.
Thank you. And I don't think Reich was the best coach.
Always said I don't care how much talent they had on that roster. They should have blown it up as soon as Luck left, because you didn't have a good draft pick. There's a ton of quarterbacks around that time that you could have gotten in the draft.
Yeah.
Why would you compete with Jacoby Brissett? I get it if you bring in a solid starter.
But we started 6-2 that year.
With a terrible schedule.
If a couple of games go our way.
You make the playoffs, I get that. But it was a bad schedule to start out that year. Or easy schedule. Bad. Like, you start 6-2, and then when you played quality teams, you lost, and then...
You
should have beat the Steelers that year. You should have beat the Dolphins. I get that. But
you should have started off 8-2 in retrospect.
It's not like they were going to win a playoff game with Jacoby. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So, and then I liked the Phillip Rivers move. I actually liked that year. I think it did a lot for the players.
I did too. I think Rivers was perfect here. And again, I wasn't.
But again, that was a stepping stone.
I wasn't ready to give him a second year because I thought we could have done better.
I honestly thought the Phillip Rivers year could have been, you know, if you made a run, you could have been a Super Bowl team. If you made a run,
absolutely. And they almost
beat the Bills. That's what people forget.
It was Reich's play calling was horrendous, and then
Rodrigo Blankenship was terrible.
He missed
in that
game. 31-yard field goal.
So yeah, they should have beat the Bills on the road, and then from there, you don't know what could happen.
Right.
You had a veteran quarterback that was playing very good football.
Yeah, especially.
So
he played one of the best. I wouldn't say one of the best games, but he was so solid in that playoff game.
I just miss Phillip. I really do. I'm going to say you're so much.
And then obviously Wentz now to Ryan. I don't know what they saw on Matt Ryan, but it's whatever. But anyway, in other news, T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton signed with the Cowboys. So I'm really cheering for the Cowboys to win it all now. I've been, you know, looking for a team to cheer for the rest of this year. Just not, like, jump on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Let's slow down there. But, you know, a team that I can cheer for to win it all.
I can't stand the Cowboys. So I just think
it's their fans, and their fans really aren't horrible most of the time. Most of the things are horrible.
But
I don't
understand why the Cowboys would go out and get him. I really don't.
Because I've heard the OBJ visit didn't go well, and they needed a wide receiver.
So they go in. Okay, that's fair.
So, yeah, I don't know. With OBJ though, what team's he gonna go to? He's holding out way too much. Sign with somebody, right. Just 1 year. Sign with the Giants for the heck of it.
I don't know.
I mean,
they would love that. New York fans would love that if he came.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of New York fans that don't like him.
I guess.
So that is a bad attitude, which could have been true. I think he's matured a lot. I think at the start of his career, yeah, that's definitely true. Now, I think it's better. But yeah, I like the T.Y. Hilton move, and I'm excited to see him play again. You know, he was close to retiring a couple years ago, and he's back at it. So good for him. And if there's any Colts fan that's mad about it, he didn't leave the Colts. The Colts didn't want him back. They've said that. Ballard didn't want him back. So he didn't leave. I guarantee if the Colts reached out to him before the season, he'd sign.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But I was to the point with him where, why would you bring him back? Again,
I wouldn't say I would want him back.
Again, love Hilton. Ring of Honor guy, 100%. Loved him when he was here. He was so good, especially with Andrew Luck. But it was to the point where his last 2 years, he was, I don't want to say he's bad, but he just wasn't productive.
It was just the fact that he had chemistry going with Luck, and then, you know, it's got to be hard on a veteran wide receiver.
I mean, and again, Luck quit on him, so.
Yeah. So.
Take that for how you will.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, I'm good for T.Y., you know, I guess, you know, if you go get the ring, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's too bad that, you know, the Colts were never able to, you know, not pass an AFC title game.
Yeah. So, yeah, 100%. But back to the draft order. We kind of got off topic of that a little bit. But, yeah, Colts are number 7 right now, 4-8-1. They're behind the Rams, the Saints, and the Cardinals, who are all 4-9. What's interesting there is that, so there's a lot of trades that were made. You know, the Rams are giving their pick to the Lions, so the Lions are going to get a top pick. What they're already, I think the Lions, if they make the right moves, can honestly, in all honesty, be a dynasty. I might be jumping the gun, but they're 6-7 with, I'd say, a mediocre roster. Dan Campbell's leading that team extremely well. And maybe I am jumping the gun with dynasty, but I think they can be a very good team and year in and year out playoff team that can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they've said that they're going to stick to Jared Goff.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's a team.
Super Bowl. But.
That's a team in front of the Colts that is maybe not looking quarterback right now. And then I don't think that the Eagles in front of you, if they're in front of you, they're not looking quarterback. The Cardinals aren't looking quarterback. I don't think they would. I don't. Yeah, right?
I wouldn't imagine.
I get Kyler's on injury, but.
I couldn't imagine them going to draft.
And I think I think if you can, so if you jump the Cardinals for the 6th pick, right?
Right.
Lose more than them. That's essentially your. I mean, the Lions and Eagles aren't going to get a quarterback. You know the Bears aren't going to get a quarterback. Are the Seahawks going to get a quarterback?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think
so. If the Seahawks don't get a quarterback, you're looking Stroud. 100% you're looking Stroud. And if it's not Stroud, then you fired Ballard immediately, if he's still a GM. Because as much as people say, oh, he's an Ohio State quarterback, genuinely went like, I ask the question all the time, when's the last quality Ohio State quarterback draft? I'm talking quality. Like, I get Justin Fields, and I think Justin Fields will be a very good quarterback. I really do, if the Bears can get him the right pieces around him. But other than that, Cardale Jones, he wasn't going to be amazing. I think Dwayne Haskins, he could have been good with the pieces around him. But other than that, who was drafted? Like, you see Alabama guys drafted. Bryce Young's going to get drafted. You have Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, Tua, like, all those quality quarterbacks. You have, like, Joe Burrow from LSU. Like, you have these guys that are expected to be good. Clemson quarterbacks. Yeah, like, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson. Ohio State just doesn't produce great quarterbacks.
That's fair.
And they have recently. They have. I think Justin Fields will be good. I think C.J. Stroud will be good. I think he could be very good on the Colts. And I think, no question, you got to go him. Even if you're like anybody's a little doubtful of him, that'd just be silly to not go him, because at that point, you're not going to get – you don't have another first-round pick unless you make a trade. You have to go quarterback first round. So if you don't go quarterback there, you're looking at Hendon Hooker second round, which I don't like. I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't either.
He's coming off an ACL injury. He's old. He's not old, but he's old for a rookie. And C.J. Stroud fits the team's agenda more and fits right. The team's timeline. If they don't go – and if Bryce Young's available, take Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's any – there's no way the Texans don't take him. I mean, Mel Kiper didn't think so, but there's no way.
Right.
There's no way they keep Davis Mills unless they want to go at, like, a quarterback in free agency or trading – I just think there's no way.
Right.
And I was talking to my dad about it the other day. It's like the only way they don't is that they wouldn't want a 6 foot quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think Bryce Young's too talented to pass up on there.
I agree.
So yeah, if Bryce Young's available, get him. But CJ Stroud's your best bet.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think CJ Stroud is your quarterback next year. That'd be my all signs pointing there. If they draft Will Levis or Anthony Richardson with like a fifth overall pick, I'd be mad.
Right.
I really would. Because I think you could trade down. And I think both of those guys have a lot of potential, but that'd be an insane reach. I mean, you saw Malik Willis last year was expected to go top 10 and fell to what, the third round?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where these guys are going to go. So
right.
You know Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are the only ones that are definitely going that high. Obviously, let's watch CJ Stroud in the playoffs, see how he does. If he can perform in a big game there, 100% take him.
I agree.
I think the big question mark with CJ Stroud is that he can't perform in big games. He hasn't really.
No, he has not.
So I think he has a lot to prove.
Especially he's gonna have
against a good NFL quality defense. So I'm really excited for this draft. I haven't been excited in years for Colts draft because usually they pick around 20. Mm-hmm. So if you can get your guy, you can get your guy. CJ Stroud is an Indianapolis Colt.
Yep, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Let's just see how it plays out. But anyway, college basketball rankings came out. So we'll start off with the number one team in the country. My Purdue Boilermakers,
all their ranked tied. They're going to,
straight year. They are the number one team in the country. Last year only lasted 1 week. Ron Harper Jr.
I think it'll last longer this year, but I still see them falling off.
Again, come Big Ten play, they'll lose some games they shouldn't. But again, I'm just hoping for a good tournament. I don't care about rankings.
I think UConn should be number one.
I don't. That's a toss-up. Purdue definitely has a better resume, but I think right now if they played head-to-head, I'd probably take UConn. But again, there's no question who the better resume is. But Purdue is the number one team in the country, followed by they had 27 votes for the number one team, followed by number two, Virginia, who had 19. Number three, UConn, who had 15. Number four, Alabama. Number five, Houston. Six, Tennessee. Tennessee had one vote for the number one team in the country. Seven, Texas. Eight, Kansas. Nine, Arizona. 10, Arkansas. 11, Baylor. 12, Duke. 13, Kentucky. 14, Indiana. 15, Gonzaga. 16, UCLA. 17, Mississippi State. 18, Illinois. They only dropped one. That's interesting.
See, I think it's because of winning against Texas.
Probably. 19, Auburn. I mean, they got destroyed at home by Penn State.
Yeah, I know.
20, Maryland, down seven spots. TCU is 21. Again, they're back on the move. I expected that. You know, teams just have slow starts. 22, Wisconsin. 23, Ohio State, which is interesting. They are 7-2. 24, Virginia Tech. And 25, Miami. Interesting top 25 there. Again, Purdue for the second time in school history is the number one team in the country, and hopefully it will be more than just a week.
So I want to go over what my top 10 would look like. Number one, like I said, I have UConn. I think they're playing very quality basketball right now, and I think they're going to win the Big East, in my opinion. Number two, I'll put Purdue. I can't hate on Purdue that much. What they're doing, their resume is very good.
They have the best resume in the country.
Probably.
It's no debate. It really is no debate.
Probably. I just think that it would be a lot better if Gonzaga wasn't this bad right now.
You beat back-to-back Gonzaga and Duke, which is very impressive. You don't beat them,
you destroy them.
Between, I think, 18 Gonzaga, 19 Duke.
Yeah.
I mean, you beat West Virginia, who's not great, but again, they're a good coach team, solid team. You beat them by 12. I mean, you have a win against Marquette, which Marquette, you know, has a good resume as well. So, I mean, it's, again, Purdue is, I mean, and then you have, I mean, you beat Minnesota at home by 19, and then you beat Nebraska on the road. Again, those are two Big Ten wins. Big Ten wins are always good. So, again, I think Purdue definitely, in my opinion, should have been the number one team in the country. Again, do I think that they're better than UConn right now? Probably not, but again, it's close.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, UConn 1, Purdue 2. I think I'm going to put Alabama 3. I think they look more impressive to me than Virginia. I'm not too high. I think Virginia is good, but I don't think they're number 2
Virginia
in the country good.
Virginia has a big game against Houston coming up this week.
Big game against Houston. I just not too high on them right now. But I'll put them at 4 behind Alabama there. So I switch up the top 4 quite a bit there. Number 5, I'll keep Houston. You know, I haven't seen much out of Houston, but they are, like you said, they have a big game against Virginia. If they can't win that game, I drop them out of the top 15, in all honesty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to win big games to stay up there. Number 6, I'll keep Tennessee. I think number 7, I'll put Kansas there. Slot them over Texas. I'm going to have Texas dropping out of the top 10. And it could be with the Chris Beard situation. But I think that they're not going to play well with the interim. At least starting out. I think by the end of the year they might be fine because they do have talent on that team. So number 7, I'll have Kansas there. I'll move Arizona up to 9. And then I'll put Arizona up to 8. Put Arkansas at 9. And then I'm going to slot Kentucky in there at 10. And Kentucky's playing very good basketball. Like I said, everybody knew they were going to start out slow. They have a big game Saturday against UCLA in the CBS Sports Classic in Vegas. So that should be a fun one. A lot to prove for both those teams.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think a win there for Kentucky against UCLA would probably maybe propel them in the top 10. So we'll see how that goes there. But yeah, that's my top 10 right now. It's college basketball, though, so it's going to change a lot throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple more things before we do hop off. Unfortunately, Purdue lost their, I guess, interim defensive coordinator. He's been co-defensive coordinator there now for the last two seasons, Mark Hagan. His second stint at Purdue was very successful. He's produced 18 NFL players. He was one of my candidates to take over the Purdue job. But unfortunately, he is following Jeff Brohm to Louisville. There was a lot of very mad Purdue fans at Mike Babinski for letting him basically walk because they did not know who the next head football coach will be at this time. So, again, really disappointing to lose, you know, a great in-state recruiter, guy who produces, you know, NFL talent. And, again, really unfortunate to lose Mr. Hagan to Louisville. So best of luck to him as he is a overall Purdue coaching legend there. And I just, you know, I just want to comment on the coaching search for Purdue head football coach. I don't know where you go. I really don't. Again, I look at the guys I had on my list. Looks like Shane Beamer from South Carolina. Apparently, there's some rumors about him coming, which if we could get him, that'd be great. Again, I don't know why you would leave South Carolina to come to Purdue. But, yeah, if he does, that'd be awesome. It'd be so cool to see a guy like that come to Purdue. But, again, we'll just have to wait and see there. Again, I hope whoever they pick is obviously a very good fit for the Purdue program.
Yeah, I think Purdue is going to need someone good because they are on the, I feel like, the rise in football.
Yeah.
But I think next year could be a down year, potentially.
It's a really tough schedule.
I got to play Michigan, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Every year is going to be tough when you play Michigan and Ohio State.
Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you for listening to another episode of the Playbook Podcast. That was episode 17, I believe. And you can catch us on Indy's Giant 90.9 on Spotify. Hope everyone has an amazing day. And signing off from Ben Davis Studio.